Well, it's an honor and a joy to be here. You know, I never accept invitations that are a week long. I mean, never. So if it wasn't for the presence of John Dunbar and Marlon Knittel, believe me, I would not be here. But now that I am here, it's a joy and a delight to be here. And by the grace of God, we are going to see the Holy Spirit move in a powerful manner in the Central Church this week. Is there a big amen to that? Amen. Praise God. The other thing that I'm very encouraged by is the degree of preparation that has taken place here. I know that many people have been fasting and praying and preparing for this week, and so that gives me the strength and the courage to get you into the Word of God today. Let's bow our heads together as we open God's Word. Father in heaven, what a loving, forgiving, redeeming God you are. And Father, we come to you with humility this week because we're seeking for that richest of all blessings, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who brings with him the very life of Jesus Christ himself. So as the life of Jesus is made available to us this week, Father, we pray that whatever our characters may be lacking in, Jesus will supplement. He will bring his magnificent character into us so that we may grow up in all things and thus glorify him. We come in anticipation, even this morning, of that blessing, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Those of you who know my mother, by the way, she sends her greetings. She was planning to be here with me this week at 92 years of age, still traveling from Australia to here, but she had a little something happened to her heart, and so they rushed her off into hospital. But of course, true to form, she did not even spend the whole night in the hospital. At 11 o'clock at night, one of my sisters received a phone call, "Come and take this woman out of here. She's disrupting the whole hospital." And my sister said, "What's she doing?" They said, "She's going around visiting all the patients, telling them to throw away their medications and God will heal them." So her doctor told her, "I don't want you to come back for 20 years. So she's really sorry, but I thought it best that maybe she didn't travel this week. And she still wanted to come, but wisdom prevailed. Open your Bibles with me to the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1. We are speaking about the Holy Spirit this week, and according to John 16, the Holy Spirit has a threefold function. When he comes, he will convict the world, first of all, of sin, then he will convict the world of righteousness, and then judgment. So this morning, of course, I'm beginning at the beginning. Any week of revival and reformation must begin with the conviction of sin. God is a holy God. If you need to take your shoes off this morning, it's okay. We are coming into the presence of a holy God. And it's taken me years to learn that you can't hang on to sin and come into the presence of a holy God. You can come seeking forgiveness. You can come repenting, but you dare not come deliberately holding on to sin into the presence of a holy God. Now that's about as feeble a response as I've heard in years. Let me repeat that again. You cannot come deliberately holding on to sin and appear in the presence of a holy God. You will place yourself in danger of the judgment. And the good news is, God's not only willing to forgive sin, He's willing to bring His overcoming life into us so that we also can overcome through Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? So hopefully this week we're going to see repentance from sin and we're going to see deliverance from habits of sin in the life of professed believers. Is that a crystal clear statement? Then God is good. We're in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Halfway through Mark, there's a very interesting story about a leper. I'm talking about lepers this morning because leprosy was considered in ancient times a symbol of sin. In fact, in ancient times, if you had leprosy, people turned to one another and said, "Who has sinned? This man or his father? He must have done something really bad to have caught leprosy." There were strange attitudes toward leprosy in ancient times. So let's look at the beginning here. By the way, those of you who have babies, please use the mother's room. We don't want anything to distract from the word here this morning. Thank you. Leprosy. You know, when I first arrived in New Guinea, the president of the mission came to me and he said, "You know, Bill, we're glad you have arrived." I wasn't feeling so glad because I had just replaced a buddy of mine who'd been in New Guinea for only 1 month. We had graduated from college together. He cut his leg on a piece of sharp-bladed grass. 2 days later, died from the infection. And the leaders asked me to replace him. So I'm saying to myself, do I have wisdom or what? I've got a pregnant wife. We're going into the most malarial-ridden area on earth. My buddy died after 1 month, but God said, go. So we went. And I didn't even have time to reach my mission station, which was 200 miles inland from the coast, surrounded by cannibal villages. And the president said to me, "Before you reach your mission station, we need you for 3 months for a very special ministry." I said, "What is it?" "Well," they said, "we haven't been able to get anyone else to do it." I said, "Oh, goody. What is it?" "It's obviously dumb liversidge will do it." "Oh," he said, "we have every confidence you will do it. And your wife's not joining you for 3 months anyway, so you're free." I said, "Great." He said, "There's an island off the coast here. It is totally inhabited by lepers. We've been able to send some preachers over there, but no one will permit themselves to get close to the lepers. Some of these people have not touched another human being in 20 to 30 years. I said, "What are you saying?" They said, "We want someone to go in there and hug the lepers." I said, "What? Hug the lepers?" I had all these fears and prejudices about leprosy. I'd never seen leprosy. I grew up in the big city. I hadn't even driven off a paved road. All my joys were about to begin. And they want to send me to an island to hug lepers? I said, well, I can go and preach to the lepers. They said, we've got people to do that. We need someone to go in there and love the lepers. I said, would you like to come with me? Oh, it's all right, Brother Liversidge, we're sending you. I said, yeah. Anyway, they said, there's a physician here we'd like you to talk to. So they set up an appointment with this physician. He was supposed to alleviate my fears. And I sat down in his office and he said, if you have good hygiene, which I assume you do, you'll never have a problem with leprosy. Have a bath with lots of soap. Of course, nobody ever told me that I had a house with no running water. Not so easy to have a bath when you don't have running water. And, you know, we were getting 400 inches of rain a year. You could go and stand in the rain. That was as good as a bath. Anyway, the physician said, soap yourself up. Go and hug the lepers and come back and have another bath. And soap yourself up again. I can guarantee you, you will never get leprosy. I said, thank you very much for the assurance. I noticed that no one's willing to come with me. Would you like to come with me, doctor? Oh, he said, I'm going to be busy. I said, I thought so. So I sailed across to the island. I'd never seen leprosy. I had no idea what it would be like to have stumps instead of hands. And your flesh is being eaten away gradually. They're getting shorter and shorter. People walking on little stumps for legs because their feet have been eaten away. Their skin is scaling like a snake's skin. So I stepped ashore. The word had gone out that the hugger is coming. So I didn't have to initiate hugging. They were lined up to hug me. And the first delightful sight hobbled along on legs that were about eaten away up to here. And he hobbled along like this and put out these two stumps. And I looked at his body that was flaking with skin all over, peeling off. I don't think he'd had a bath for years. And these two stumps came out and they just went around me. And you know, the grace of God comes on you at a time like that, doesn't it? And even though I wanted to pull away, as those two stumps came around me, I just reached out my arms and gave him this great big hug. And the guy started weeping. He said, you've got no idea how good that feels after 25 years of never touching another human being. So hundreds of lepers lined up just to have a hug. I didn't need to preach a sermon. The love of God was enough. It was being communicated with a hug. They were living on an island where nobody wanted to see them. So in your mind, allow yourself to consider that 2,000 years ago, where there was much less knowledge about leprosy than there is today, you were living in caves or remote valleys and people would lower food down over the cliff. Nobody wanted direct contact with a leper. And of course, they must have been big sinners to be in that condition. There's five little points coming out of this story this morning, but note them well. Point number one. By the way, as we get started this morning, just in case we have a leper sitting here this morning. By that, of course, I mean somebody who is caught in sin. You feel unclean. You don't need anyone to tell you how unclean you are. You know that already. You may be struggling against it, but losing the struggle. Or you may have a besetting sin that you manage to keep hidden when you put on your Sabbath face every week. You're even good at shaking hands with people. If you're pretending, you're a leper. If you have unforsaken and unforgiven sin in your life this morning, you are a leper. And I'm calling you this morning to repentance at the beginning of our week of prayer. Because the one thing that will free up God's Spirit this week is for the lepers to admit that they have leprosy. For the sinners to acknowledge that they have sin in their lives and they're tired of faking it. They're tired of hiding it. They're tired of struggling with something that the Bible says Jesus has already fought and overcome. So if you're a leper sitting here this morning, take note of these points very carefully. The first thing you ought to do is exactly what this leper did. Point number one. Mark 1 and verse 40. A leper came to him. Now, I'm reading the New American Standard Bible. My version uses a great word here. It says, a leper came to him beseeching him. Anyone have a different word to that? Imploring. I like imploring, but I don't think it's as strong as beseeching. This leper is desperate. He's on his knees. He is beseeching Jesus. Does that tell you something? Do you think he's serious or what? He's not coming to Jesus saying, have you got a minute? I've got a little problem. You know, maybe it could be important. Perhaps we can talk about it if you've got time. He comes to Jesus and falls down on his knees, beseeching him. He is serious about his condition. Do you notice the words that he says to Jesus? I think Jesus must have a great sense of humor. For somebody to come to Jesus and actually say to him, if you are willing. I'm sure Jesus grinned to himself when he heard that. If you are willing. Imagine saying that to the great healer himself. The one who raises the dead, heals the sick, comforts the widows. If you are willing, and I've got news for you this morning. Is he willing? Oh, yes. Look at the end of verse 41. Right at the end of verse 41, Jesus says to the guy, I am willing. He waits a minute before he answers. The good news this morning is, you might be a leper, but Jesus is willing to bring healing into your life. It doesn't matter whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Jesus is willing. Quite okay right now, by the way, to fall down on your knees. I actually had somebody last week did it. I nearly died of cardiac arrest. That somebody would act on the word that quickly. Somebody fell down on their knees last week weeping and said, God, I beseech you. I want to walk out of this church healed this morning. They had a serious sin problem. Not everyone's willing to address the sin problem, you know. I had a student called me this week from Atlantic Union College in Boston. I know this kid. I have a son attending school there. One of my adopted sons, whom I have many. But this is a guy that I'd met during my visits up there. And this kid's a theology major. And he called me up this week and he said, oh, I need help. I don't think I believe in God anymore. I can't pray. I can't read the Bible. Something's happened to me. So I let him go and go and go and go. Finally, there was a silence. When I wasn't responding, he quit. I said, cut the crap. He came up with a jolt. I said, cut the crap. You've got a sin problem. Talk to me about it or hang up. I don't have time for all this guff that you're giving me. Don't tell me you can't pray. Don't tell me you can't read the Bible. Don't tell me you're not sure you believe in God anymore. Tell me what sin is crippling your life, you leper. He was shocked. He said, someone's been talking to you. I said, yes, but somebody at a much higher level than you're thinking about. I said, do you want to talk about your sin problem, or do you want to continue with all this guff that you're laying on me? He said, I don't know where to begin. I said, well, you could start with the Latin expression, mea culpa. I have sinned. I said, you're not going to shock me. And I'm not going to judge you. I might even be able to help you out of this sin problem, but how can I if you won't even admit it? By the way, that's 90% of the people I deal with. They're in denial. This is a theology major. I said, by the way, if you can't admit it, I seriously suggest you drop out of theology and change majors. We don't need another double-minded preacher in the pulpit. We have enough already. Okay, he says, okay, well, I might as well talk about it. I said, oh, hallelujah. How much easier it would have been just to come out with it. He says, well, I can't pass Hebrew. I said, well, congratulations. I had a struggle with Hebrew myself. Those funny letters, and you read them all backwards, it's ridiculous, you know. He said, but I really can't pass it. He said, I'm going to fail. I'm not going to graduate. So he said, I've found a website where they do all your exams for you. And I'm going to get an A in Hebrew. I said, so you cheated. He said, yep. But I'm only doing it this once. After I pass Hebrew, I will never cheat again. I said, now you're really waffling now. That's called rationalization. Well, he said, what do you expect me to do about it? I said, go to your professor and acknowledge that you cheated. Well, he said, the final test was yesterday, actually. He said, can I wait till after the final test? I said, no. Go to the professor, tell him you've cheated, and take your medicine. Well, he said, they probably won't let me graduate. I said, well, they shouldn't. But maybe there's some grace there. You won't know unless you call sin by its right name. I've never felt more sorry for a young guy in all my life. You know what he said to me on the phone? I can't do it. I can't face the medicine. I said, you're going to spend the rest of your life with a compromised conscience. For what? To be able to graduate from school and go into the pulpit? Where you can preach your double-minded messages and tell people how to evade the convictions of the Holy Spirit in their lives because you're a specialist in it. And I said, what's more, you're going to have great difficulty in hearing the Holy Spirit from now on. Make it right. So I said, call me. This was by yesterday evening. Call me. If you've got the grace to do it. So he didn't call, so I know he didn't do it. and I feel bad. I feel sad. And if you're sitting out here this morning and you really are a leper, and you have sincerely struggled, you have tried, but those habits continue in your life, I'm urging you with every breath in my body, do what the leper did. And what did he do? He fell down on his knees and beseeched Jesus, if you are willing, make me clean. I tried to tell this kid this yesterday. Jesus is willing. He'll not only forgive you, he will find a solution for you and pick you up and pull you out of this. And you can spend the rest of your life with a conscience devoid of offense to God and in favor with God and man. These words are lingering in my ear. I can't do it. I'm too weak. So I guess he's going to pass Hebrew. How's your faith this morning? Anyone here needing at this very moment to fall down on your knees and beseech Jesus, if you are willing, make me clean. You can walk out of this church today restored, forgiven, empowered, clean, because this is what Jesus is good at. Nobody on their knees yet, huh? Tough crowd here. Second point. Verse 41. I love this about Jesus. I love these little Bible stories that bring in some of the characteristics of Jesus. In the beginning of verse 41, it says, Jesus was moved with what? Are you hearing that this morning? Jesus is moved with compassion. I think I've got a taste. I might be the only one here that actually knows how Jesus felt when that leper approached him, because I know how I felt when God made me reach out my arms and put them around that leper. The first one was the hardest. After that, it became easier. I never got a chance to preach to the lepers because they lined up to hug me the whole time I was there. Some of them came back for a second hug. Jesus was moved with compassion. Do you know that that's one of the chief characteristics of Jesus? He has the most incredible compassion. He knows what sin has done to us. He knows how we hate ourselves when we can't lick it. He knows the agony we go through if we keep falling back into it. Could be somebody sitting here this morning who can't love, who can't forgive. It's a common thing today. The good news is, the one who is moved with compassion when he comes into you, you know what he brings with him? He brings love. He brings forgiveness. He brings healing, even in relationships. That's how effective he is. Jesus is moved with compassion. You know, I live in Palm Springs. It's a resort town. It's building up at the moment. It seems to be we have a resort there most of the year now. It used to be winter, but now even summer's busy. So a couple of weeks ago, I had a meal in a restaurant downtown Palm Springs one night. And I was leaving the restaurant and just walking towards my car on the main street when I heard a commotion behind me, and I turned around and looked, and a homeless woman, she had to be in her mid-50s, She'd gone into the very restaurant that I'd just come out of, and she had a big brown paper bag. And obviously she was asking for food scraps and things. And two of the waiters from the restaurant had picked her up bodily, and they did it fairly gently, I thought, and they walked her out and put her back down on the sidewalk and told her basically to take a hike. And while I'm standing there looking, and quite a crowd was gathering to watch this, I've never seen anything like that in Palm Springs before. And while I'm standing there looking, the Holy Spirit goes, knock, knock. And God says to me, she's hurting and she's hungry. I said, yes, she is. Well, God said to me, I'd like to minister to her. And I said, well, that's what you do very well. Well, God says, yes, you know, but I usually need a human instrument. I said, well, I'm aware of that. And God says, well, you are right there. I said, yes, I am. So finally, God takes out his baseball bat and hits me on the head. He says, well, once again, I'm choosing you. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, go over to that woman and give her a hug and tell her that I am very concerned for her situation and that I love her very, very much. I said, well, I can do that. And he said, put your hand in your pocket and pull out enough money so she can have half a dozen meals. And remember to tell her it's from me, not from you. This is all God's initiative. He's never letting me take any of the credit. And when you think about it, we don't deserve the credit, do we? Because we are not that unselfish by nature. This is all God's direction. So in front of about 50 people that are all gathered now, I walked over. It was hard to get close to this woman. I don't think she'd had a shower for some time. And I don't have a very highly developed sense of smell, but it nearly knocked me over. Anyway, I walked over to her and I put my arm around her and I leaned into her and I said, don't be surprised because I'm a Christian. And God has just spoken to me and asked me to come over here and encourage you. He is moved with compassion in regard to your circumstances at the moment. And he wants you to know that he loves you very, very much. And she began to weep. Then she did the most surprising thing. She kissed me on the lips. I was dying on the vine. There's 50 people watching and I'm being kissed on the lips by a stinking, homeless woman. And everything in me said, get away. And God says, once again, you're not thinking clearly. God's always catching me like this. You know what God said to me? She's not kissing you. She's kissing me. He said, it's the same as when Mary washed my feet with her hair. This woman is responding to me. So he said, cool it. Quit struggling to get away. The woman has me in her embrace. And so I allowed her to kiss me. Finally, I managed to extricate myself. And the crowd was interesting. Two people from the crowd came over and rebuked me for behaving like that in public. How dare I permit a homeless woman even to touch me? Another couple came over and they said, we are Christians. We understand exactly what happened right now and we are praising God. And I realized that even out there on the street, God has his own children who are discerning spiritually while others are just offended. So I put my hand in my pocket and I pulled out 20 bucks and I gave it to her and I said, you know, God also said he wants you to get yourself a few meals. Now remember, this is from him, not from me. And I fled the scene. But you know, I started thinking about this verse. Jesus was moved with compassion. You know what I said to myself? How does God, who has to administrate the whole universe from heaven, all those worlds out there that he's looking after, how does he have the time and the inclination to look down into the town where I live on the main street and focus on one homeless woman? I just looked up and raised my hands in the air and I said, you are incredible. I wish I had 1/100th of your compassion. Jesus couldn't walk down the street without having compassion on what sin had done to sinners all around him. I hope you're hearing this morning, that he has the same compassion on you. You know that, don't you? And if you're a leper here this morning, please believe that the one who was moved with compassion 2,000 years ago is being moved with compassion here again this morning. Is there an amen to that? Third point. This is the big point of the sermon now. Every sermon has a big point, huh? And this is it. This is a huge point. I love it when the passage of Scripture has something like this in it. You know, Jesus is always challenging Jewish tradition, even though he's a Jew. He is a very unconventional Jew. He's a radical. I can see how the Jews thought Jesus was a radical, a revolutionary. The Jews had rules and regulations for anything, especially for the touching of unclean things. So what does Jesus do? He goes around, touches coffins, touches sinners, prostitutes. And on this occasion, who does he touch? He touches a leper. I mean, that is a big no-no in Jewish society. A leper is unclean. It represents sin, and Jesus does the unthinkable. He stretched out his hands and touched him. I've had to repent of all the years I've preached on these passages and failed to realize that every time Jesus touches something unclean, he's transferring the guilt of sin from the sinner to himself. He's actually saying, I'm going to become sin for you. Your sin, your guilt, your condemnation, your judgment, even your second death, I'm going to take it all from you. And I'm going to let it all fall on myself, and it will kill me. I like to think that at times like this, Jesus is actually reaffirming his commitment to go to the cross. And he reaffirms it by reaching out and touching the most unclean object or person that he can find. And most people missed what he was doing. This is the cross coming out here. This is the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And the good news this morning is, it doesn't matter how deep in the pits of sin you may have fallen. That's what I told this kid yesterday. You can be at the bottom of the pit. Jesus is taking the full weight and has taken the full weight of your guilt, your condemnation. Your judgment has fallen on him, and even your second death, he has already died it. There's no second death in my future. I don't know about you. I've already died the second death in him. Have you? He's lifted all that from us through his atoning death. So Jesus was doing much more than just touching an unclean leper. He was symbolically reassuring the leper that everything that sin has done to you is about to fall on me. I will become sin for you, so that you now may be freed up to partake of my righteousness in your life. What a gracious God he is. He lifts the weight of sin so we can be free now to become holy through his indwelling presence. I was hoping he wasn't taking a little vacation or something. This is huge. So why would a person who is the equivalent of the leper fail to repent, knowing how much Jesus has taken from you and allowed to fall on himself? This is the best news you can ever hear. Anyone need to be down on their knees yet? Praise the Lord, man. He's under conviction. Praise God. Wow. Praise God. Thank you, God, your spirit is moving already, huh? I've been praying all the week that because of the serious preparations in this church that we're going to see such a conviction of sin this week, that the righteousness of Jesus will be manifested in people's lives. He's a gracious God. This is the kind of conviction I have been praying we would see. And we're just beginning, aren't we? Next Sabbath we're going to hopefully, we are by the grace of God going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. A baptism of the Holy Spirit in this place. Isn't that exciting? It's just beginning today. Any other lepers out there under conviction, you know what to do. Fall down on your knees and beseech him. See and feel the compassion of Jesus. And especially witness him reaching out and touching the unclean, symbolically transferring all that guilt and shame onto himself and lifting it from the sinner. This is how gracious Jesus is. And finally, this is a pretty simple story. Finally, oh, it's too early for me to finish yet. I'll have to tell another story. Finally, notice what happened in the story. Notice it. Jesus said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus must have a great sense of humor because he says to the leper, don't tell anybody. Imagine if you'd been a leper your whole life and you get healed and someone says to you, don't tell anybody. And shortly afterwards he goes out and tells everybody. And of course Jesus can no longer appear in public after that. He has to meet in secret places as the word has gone out. Simple little story here this morning. Simple story. But with profound implications. I never cease to be amazed by the reluctance of sinners to let go of sin. Despite the fact that God has demonstrated his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm going to say it again here this morning in case you haven't heard it. It doesn't matter where you are in the pits of sin. It doesn't matter what habit may have enslaved you and you've been incapable of breaking free from it. Jesus, in the likeness of sinful human flesh, has already overcome the enemy. He has overcome sin and temptation, and his life is being credited to us. And through his atoning death, which he symbolized by reaching out and touching the leper, through his atoning death, Jesus is trying to tell all of us this morning, I have taken your guilt on myself. You are no longer under condemnation. You will not face judgment because I have already been judged in your stead. That's why Jesus taught, he who believes does not come into judgment. When your name is called up, Jesus will stand up. You know that, don't you? And he's trying to tell you this morning that even the death that you would have faced, he has already died. So let's not beat around the bush this morning. If you are a leper, you have any kind of sin problem in your life, and you want to beseech him, and you want to walk out of this church healed, and this week you want total deliverance through the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on down the front here and join these people who are under conviction. This is not a general call. This is an individual call for anybody who is sensing their need and wanting to take hold of the atoning death of Jesus Christ this morning. Leave your seat. Break free of that super glue that binds so many people to their seats. And come and kneel down here this morning. I believe we have a singing group. Is that true? Is that... Oh, praise the Lord, huh? We have a singing group. So as they're singing, come forward this morning, please. They're going to sing that beautiful song, He Touched Me. Oh, He Touched Me, and oh, what joy has filled my soul. Press forward, please.
Shackled by a heavy shout it while eternity rolls. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole.
Can we have that chorus one more time? That was so beautiful. I want to hear it. Well, just the chorus, please. There's still time to come forward yet.
Touch me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that left my soul, something happened, and now I know, he touched me.
We're going to invite the congregation to fall to their knees right where you are. So everyone's on their knees here this morning, please, as we conclude. I'm going to call on Pastor Marlon, who has graciously extended an invitation for me to be here this week to assist him in the spiritual renewal of his own congregation. And I'm just so grateful for that, Marlon. And I'm going to invite him this morning to pray a very special prayer of anointing and blessing on all who've been convicted this morning, that this will just be the beginning of a joyful walk in Christ, climaxing in an anointing of the Holy Spirit next Sabbath as we conclude. Marlon, please pray for us.
Father, I just praise you so much just for the way you work through your Son, that his heart was moved with compassion. That he reached out and touched a leper. And I praise you that he is still in the business today of reaching out and encircling us as sinners, lepers, with his arms. And Father, I'm asking especially for those who have come forward this morning, those who are on their knees. Father, we are sinners. We acknowledge it. And we are beseeching you. You are the one that can give us the deliverance from this leprosy. And Father, we are praising you for this, thanking you that you are our great deliverer and we can walk out of here cleansed. And Father, I'm asking that your precious anointing will rest on us, that you will continue to walk with us step by step, moment by moment, hour by hour, through the remaining days of this week, and that you will bring us to a glorious time at the conclusion of this. Our feet on solid ground, our faith and hope in you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.